St. Elsewhere Music here at 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. That means Dr. Brent Riefsteck, pediatrician with Carl, is on the phone with us. And it's time for our weekly health check. How are you doing, Brent?
Very good. And you guys?
Wonderful. Back from vacation. Where did you go?
San Francisco.
San Francisco. Did you leave your heart there?
I didn't.
Okay. Are you glad to be back in Illinois?
I am, yeah. It's nice to get back to normal life for a little bit.
What was the best part of the vacation?
Alcatraz was a lot of fun. We also went up to the Napa Valley and did a wine tour, and that was a lot of fun. Very beautiful.
Yeah, really. Did you see the Redwoods?
No. That was on the list of possible things to do. I'm kind of disappointed. Just means we have something to go back to look
there
at.
There you go. Time. You've got to go back. We're going to talk about food allergies in kids, but Ryan actually has a question for you here real quick before we get into that.
Sounds great.
I do. Well, I have a two-month-old baby at home, and I know that I'm not supposed to, you know, take him out in the sun very often, but sometimes, you know, whether I'm walking the dog and I have him in a carrier, I usually try to have a hat on, or if we're in transport somewhere. What about sunscreen with babies under 6 months? All the sunscreens that I see out there that are for babies say not to be used unless they're 6 months or older. But what about for younger than 6 months?
You can still use it. The best idea, and for any tips like this and any other tips for kids, there's a great website called healthychildren.org. It's done by the American Academy of Pediatrics. Has a lot of tips on it for parents. But babies younger than 6 months, you can use sunscreen. They say to use it sparingly on small areas of the body, such as the face and the backs of the hands, just places that are sun exposed. And then otherwise, protective clothing and shade are the best ways to do that for kids younger than 6 months.
What about his bald head? I want to just like slather it all on there, but I don't think that's a very good idea.
A little hat or a little blankie, but if you have to, yeah, you can slap a little sunscreen on there.
Okay. Well, why don't we connect about the food allergies in kids? Because this new study from the CDC, it seems like 1 in 13 kids suffers from at least one food allergy.
Yeah, actually, this is a brand new article released by the American Academy of Pediatrics for publication in the Journal of Pediatrics. It was released yesterday. What they're finding, basically, the goal of the study was to find out what the actual prevalence of food allergy is in children in the United States. The previous estimates were, you know, somewhere between 3.5% to, you know, 7-8%, and actually we were underestimating the food allergy prevalence is 8% in the United States, and it's well greater than previously reported. What that actually means for us as far as numbers is about 5.9 million children in the United States have some sort of severe reaction to food allergy.
Wow. And is that number getting bigger because we have more kids in the U.S., or is that number getting bigger because food allergies are, somehow on the increase?
Food allergies are actually on the increase. There are a number of different theories. One of them I'll talk about here later in the segment, but we do know that just in one kind of allergy, peanut allergy, between 1997 and 2002, the prevalence of peanut allergy in children doubled. That's something to be very surprised about. I think part of it may be food allergies are more recognizable than they used to be,
okay. And
parents are on the lookout for it. But the actual prevalence of food allergy has increased quite a bit.
Huh. Okay. Well, why don't we dive into why that might be? Because, is there something going on with peanuts? Is there an ingredient that's being used?
No. There's a number of different theories. The one that holds the most clout, or the one that's receiving the most research right now, is called the hygiene hypothesis. And believe it or not, it tells us we're, as a society, too clean.
What?
Yeah, it's a little counterintuitive. So the way this works is there are, basically when you look at the way the immune system works, it's like a fork in the road. You have two choices. You can go left or you can go right. When you go right, it's more of an allergy part of the immune system. And when you go left, it's kind of a chronic, responding to illness kind of a immune system. So when you are constantly going to the left, you're getting exposed to this, you're getting exposed to that. Then the path to the right, the allergy path, is kind of dumbed down a little bit. But when you're constantly not using either of those arms of the immune system, then anything that gets to travel down the right side of the road, the body attacks more aggressively. So by not getting stimulated on a regular basis by dust, mites, just those regular allergens, regular viruses, regular bacteria, fungus, the stuff that as kids we were exposed to just because it was part of our normal everyday lives, now in our super clean preschools and our super clean homes and, you know, hand sanitizer and hand washing, we're not getting exposed as often as we, you know, had in the past. And then when we get exposed to one little bit, say a little bit of nut protein, then the body reacts very aggressively to that. So that's one theory that we're actually too clean.
What are some other reasons for the increase?
Well, there are other theories. There are theories that, you know, we don't get exposed to as many worms. That's one.
Worms? Did you say worms?
Mm-hmm, because we're also not as clean. The, and
I didn't know I was exposed to worms. This is unsettling.
Every single day. Every single day. And then I want you to stop thinking about it right now.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Because otherwise,
I can't.
You'll think about it the rest of the day. No, that is just one theory. You know, the increase in developed nations, you know, infant feeding, certain infant feedings, that's one theory that are the way we feed our infants, which is mostly through formula, may have something to do with it.
So formula versus natural breastfeeding?
Well, natural breastfeeding is always the best.
Okay.
And you're also transferring immune chemicals that way. But one of the theories is that something in the formula can sensitize children to certain things.
Is there a particular formula that you should be looking for that might not sensitize kids to things? Is
no,
there an ingredient or?
They're pretty much all the same.
Okay.
From that standpoint, the federal government regulates those really, really closely.
Okay.
Another theory is that pollution may be responsible for the increase of these diseases, but you know, the theory that, like I said, that's receiving the most attention right now in research is the hygiene hypothesis.
Okay, which is that we, you know, kids just don't get exposed to enough. Yeah.
What about prenatal care? Because when I was pregnant, I was reading about peanut stuff, and there is one theory that I read about that said that some moms who eat more peanut butter and peanuts when they're pregnant, their kids have a higher risk of being allergic to them.
Actually, that should not be the case, because if you're constantly being exposed to
that
protein, even in a processed form that comes through the breast milk or across the placenta, you should actually be more protected. And we actually know that's true because children who are exposed to cat and dog dander in their first year of life actually have a decreased incidence of allergy to those animals. And that's been proven in multiple studies.
You just said having pets in the home is a good thing, it might actually help kids build up their immunity.
After the first year of life, there's no proven benefit, but those kids who have a cat or dog in the home in the first year of life actually are protected.
Ryan's over there giving herself the pump, man. She's pumping it up because she's got a little puppy.
I catch my dog licking his face sometimes, and I don't think it's the best thing.
It's good stuff. And the other surprising thing is all of those foods that we used to keep from our children, keep from our babies because we were worried about developing food allergies.
Yeah.
You know, don't feed a baby nuts. Don't feed a baby strawberries. Shellfish is a no-no. You know, all of those things. Eggs. That's actually false. That theory is false. What we found is avoiding those foods actually makes it more likely for you to have not only food allergies but seasonal allergies down the road. So it's not always the best theory to go ahead and keep them from those more allergenic foods.
Okay. So, if I were a parent, I'd be a little confused. What should you do? Just I guess...
The rule is, if you can eat it, they can eat it.
Okay.
If it's a baby, then you just make sure that it's a in a pureed baby food version, of course.
Right.
But if it's safe for you to eat, it's safe for them to eat. You'll deal with food allergies down the road if it's a pot, you know, if that's what's going to happen. And maybe too clean of a home isn't necessarily the best way to go. It's okay for them to play in the dirt. It's okay for them to not have 100% clean hands and feet all the time.
Okay.
It's okay. You know, you don't have to keep things bleached clean all the time. Okay. So those are, I think, the good take-home messages. And as far as solid food, we still have everybody wait until at least 4 months of age before solid foods are started.
Okay.
6 months of age if they're exclusively breastfed.
Okay. And now, before we let you go, Brent, can you let us know about the food allergy program that you guys have at Carl?
Yeah, this is actually a fairly new thing, the Carl Food Allergy Education Program. It's through generous financial support from the Carl Development Foundation. The allergy program has been able to develop a food allergy education program. Dr. Zek and our wonderful nurse practitioner, Amy Jessup, head up the program. Basically, they just provide education to patients and community for food allergies, and they have some great resources. It's easy to contact them at 255-9700, and they develop emergency action plans for those who have food allergies, which actually is just a one or two sheet paper, which gives specific instructions on what to do given what symptoms a person is having. It can actually be life-saving. But they also have a number of different resources that they can use for patient education and evaluation.
Okay. Do you have to have a Carl doctor's? What if you go to, you know, Provena or something?
You can always give them a call. It's through a donation through the Carl Development.
Okay.
So it should be fine no matter what
no matter where you are. Okay.
Where your medical home is.
And I guess one more important question before we let you go, Dr. Reisek, because you had mentioned, what are some symptoms of a food allergy? Just in case you know, your kid's eating something and you notice something, what are the symptoms of food allergy?
Symptoms of food allergy would be if you eat something and then you start to feel kind of a tingling, sometimes you feel a tingling or a metallic taste in the mouth, a sensation of warmth, hives on the skin, itching, wheezing or difficulty breathing. And when you get into the difficulty breathing or shortness of breath, that's when it's time to go to the emergency department. So the trouble breathing would be the time to go. You know, if you're just having some skin reaction, a little bit of tingling and itching, go see your doctor, certainly, and be evaluated. But anything that involves the mouth, throat, or breathing, it's time to go to the doctor. Go to the doctor right now.
Okay. All right. Well, as always, Dr. Reisek, you've given us a ton of great information, and we really, really appreciate it.
It's been a good time.
I always look forward to our weekly health check every week at around this time, between 1 and 1:30. We're talking with Brent Reisek. And again, if you've got a question, a thought, you can certainly either call at 359-CALL or you can email. Just go to myconnectfm.com, click on my page. I'm Mary Lynn, and you'll see my email right there.